Welcome to the Eagle Eye Podcast. The number one show to bring you all things Club America in English. From tactical analysis
pelota para la banda izquierda.
To player updates. We've got you covered on all the latest news on Las Águilas. Now, let's start the show. This is the Eagle Eye Podcast.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to another episode of the Eagle Eye Podcast. Starting off with technical difficulties already. If you are listening to this on Spotify and or Apple Podcasts, wherever it is you may listen to us, then you're really not going to be, you didn't really witness what just happened. But if you're listening to us live right now and you're watching either through Twitter and or YouTube, you would have saw that the countdown went down, but no introduction video. So that was kind of weird. But yeah, welcome back to another episode of the UI Podcast. Today we have a bunch to talk about, mostly just rant about, if I'm being honest. And yeah, it's dark times ahead for Club America as they got humiliated against Cruz Azul in the Clásico Joven. And it looks like it's going to be a dire week for Las Águilas del América as the transfer window comes to an end. I know we mentioned it saying that it was this week. Technically, it's actually next week. But to help me break that down and talk all things Club America with me, it is none other than the man himself, Mr. Chris Rivera. Chris, how's the heat treating you?
Oh, horrible, brother. Horrible, horrible. People talking about rains and coldness, and over here we're dealing with literal hell, brother. It's so bad. And then I'm the type to get grumpy, bro. So, like, yeah, I'll be laying there just like,
yeah,
like, don't touch me, don't talk to me. Like, we'll interact with our minds. I just don't want to talk.
I feel you. The heat does not bring out the best in anybody. I don't care what anyone says. But yeah. Great to have you on. I know it's gonna be one of those podcasts where we're gonna be speaking mostly out of our heart rather than our mind, and the heat is definitely not gonna help to contribute in anything good. But yeah, let's jump right into it. Last week we spoke about Club America coming up against Cruz Azul, and I think you, me, and Dylan, as we spoke about the game, there wasn't much optimism going into this one. Out of me and Dylan, I think the most optimistic person for this game was probably you. But at the end of the day, it was just showcased that, you know, we are in a poor state, and America concedes 4 goals, gets humiliated in front of the Cruz Azul fans. And the worst thing about it is this is probably our worst game of the season so far, and we didn't look like we were playing an actual Clásico after maybe the first 30 minutes where America started decently. What, from your perspective, do you think happened? Where did it all go wrong? America had the lead. You know, we were 1-0 up. Things were looking great. It was some great football by America for the first 30 minutes, and they kind of just imploded on themselves. And from your perspective, what do you think happened?
Well, I think to me it's kind of clear, you know, the Diego Valdez injury really just took the life out of us, right? I see little things that we aren't doing from previous seasons, right? Fidalgo isn't as the ball handler that he usually is, right? Where he's controlling everything, the ball's on his feet. I'm not saying everything's on him, right? But it's just little things like that. You lose Valdez, you don't have Sendejas, and those 3 guys, in my opinion, were your ball handlers. They were the ones that, when you had the ball, they had the ball on their feet, that you know, something was going to happen. It was even a pass back or something, but something was going to happen. You know, they were usually the ones that started the play that ended up leading to goal, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, there's a lot to really highlight, honestly, but to me, it starts right there with the Diego Valdez injury, because shortly after they scored 2 on us. And I know he's an attacking midfielder, but you kind of lose your idea, right? Your creativity, your that point, right? That classic 10, right? Well, I don't know if you grew up with people telling you, you know, the player that wears a 10, the player that plays as a 10, they're the most important player in the team, right? Of course, football has evolved and it's not necessarily like that. There's a lot of teams that don't play with 10s, but that's just the mindset, right? Of just growing up, you're 10. And that's how it felt like. And I mean, there's a lot of things I didn't like afterwards. It just felt like we didn't have a soul out there. We were just kind of sleepwalking. You were getting punched. It's like we always go back to kind of comparing it to fights, right? But what happens when you see a fighter, he's dominating, he's kind of fighting his fight, and then gets cracked. And then, you know, you kind of see him just wobbly throughout the fight, not really there, kind of scared to engage. That's how I felt, you know. I felt like we, you know what's funny? And this is kind of something I highlight from the national team. And it's funny because Chiquito Sanchez is kind of one of those players, right, that you kind of highlight with the national team is they don't have midfielders that are able to push forward. And he brought him in, and he was one of the reasons we just couldn't push forward, right, after Valdez got injured. And so, like I said, there's a lot of things to highlight, but they're just things that I just saw that I just didn't like. Borja, I highlighted this in our group chat a lot because we had a debate about him not that long ago between Borja and Chicote. Look, fullbacks that look good offensively but don't look good defensively tend to not know how to defend, you know, and the fact that he got beat in a 1v1 against Luis Romo, you know, like I said, there's a lot to highlight, but the main thing is Diego Valdez's injury. That for sure. You know, just sucked the soul out of it. Yes.
Yeah, I agree. I think that turns the tide as well. But that can't continue to be our excuse. That used to be the excuse as to when America just kind of shut down and didn't play their best. But America was still able to get results, right? At the end of the day, Diego Valdez going down cannot be a consistent excuse. There was three things that I take away from this matchup, or three things that I think everyone learned from this game. One, Nestor Araujo should not be ever featured again in an America jersey. Two, Diego Valdez is made out of glass, and we should probably be looking for his replacement already, to be honest.
We already have it. We already have it, Mr. Chiquito Sanchez, which is what I was trying to get into in a bit. Like, is it a mess? It's too early to really say you can call him a flop. Let's also be
yeah, fair, no, right? Absolutely, but, absolutely.
But I don't have the patience with him that I had with Javairo, right? Because it's the same league.
But let's be honest. If you
watched him with Pachuca,
the way that
he was never convincing, you know? He was never convincing either. So, like, for me, it's we're going to get really into it, but it's the front office's fault. We're going to get into the rumors and everything. We're just going to sit here and really have a serious talk, again, about the front office.
The one thing I will say to Chicote's rescue is the fact that Diego Valdez does not have a straight impact with America. He also struggled in his first season. Remember, everyone wanted him out right away. And it took him a little bit to adapt, grew into it, and started looking like a much better footballer. The footballer that we saw in Santos, the footballer we saw in Morelia. He grew into the role. And I think that's something that we should give to Chicote an opportunity to kind of grow into it, you know?
Chiquito.
And the third thing that I learned is that Jordan Santos is much, much closer to retirement than many all of us would probably want to admit. It's just, it's
100%.
It's a serious issue in the midfield. And I'm lost for words to think of as to what dissolution is, because there isn't one right now. Would you throw in there Alan Cervantes? Probably not. That's not your best bet. Jefecito Rodriguez? Nope. Also not.
And the issue is you get rid of Naveda, right?
Ooh. Yeah. Who was supposed to be
maybe,
kind of like...
Maybe you weren't convinced by him, right? Because we would have these conversations.
No. 100%. He didn't look like...
But he wasn't like a horrible...
Yeah.
You know, he wasn't horrible. He wasn't costing his game.
Absolutely. He didn't look like he would be a much better player in that position than Jonathan Dos Santos. Right? But he wasn't the worst player on the pitch either. But we do need him to grow, right? And hopefully this loan spell is going to help him, and maybe could potentially come back and fight for that starting center defensive mid role. But right now we're in trouble. We're in trouble on all aspects. If we really think about it, this was just a horrible display. And the way that Club America Es Mi Pasión says, the team just fell apart. The team just fell apart just as much as America Femenil did against Portland last night. I can't stress this enough that I had vocalized this since the loss against Colorado in penalties, that this America just looked flat. They looked undone. I didn't have confidence that we were going to beat Puebla, and less confidence coming into the game against Cruz Azul that we were going to be able to win. This is the first time that in a long time that I can imagine that America fans don't feel confident going into a Clásico Nacional. Mind you, it's 2 weeks away. It's not like we're talking about it's going to happen this Saturday. Still another Saturday from now. But after this result, you can't even think, oh yeah, we can for sure turn around and beat Chivas. Do we have the squad for it? Yes, of course.
The only thing I'll say is, like you said, there's a lot of things you could highlight. And it's not necessarily the fake excuses, right? Because, like you said it a lot of times, it's America. This is on the coaching and this is in the front office. If it's not on the players, right? Because they're not being the ones forced into these positions. But let's call it what it is. It's also fatigue. And you could tell when you see some of these games, right? The Puebla game, for example. We really lose on a Hail Mary, bro. We didn't necessarily win because, like, you know, even the Colorado game, it's not like they were trying to win it. They were trying to survive that game, both of those games. And, you know, the Puebla game is more ugly because it's like they're trying to kill them, but not necessarily, you know, with force. Like, if they were to play with more with aggression, we'd probably win that game fairly easy, right? Because we had a similar game against Querétaro this season, right?
Yeah,
very similar game where it was like, well, they're not necessarily trying. Even their goal was kind of like, oh, it went in, you know? So for me, I would even throw in fatigue, maybe this break. But at the same time, we have a game this weekend against Nacional, right? Atlético Nacional. If Jardine goes and plays the starters, then, you know, he has a better feel that all these players are okay. Then can we even talk about fatigue, you know? Like,
I think it's too early in the season to say fatigue.
It's not just this season, though. Because think about it. We've been playing endlessly since. And then you take into national teams, too. Like, no one really has taken a break, you know? We talked about it. That we're like the one of the first leagues to really start super early. And it's like the transfer window hasn't even started. Remember, I don't know, we talked about it a year or in a private chat, we were just like, the season's already starting and we just became champions and the transfer window hasn't even started yet. You know, like, and then they're going to pause the league and send us to another league in another country. Like, you know, and then friendlies against Europeans. And then it's like, oh, the Fecha FIFA. And then they're having national team players, you know, play with their national team and they go farther into the tournament. That's why I'm saying, like, fatigue. I get it. What you're saying is, like, it's too early for us as a group to say fatigue. But if you really look at it, there hasn't been a single break, you know, since when? Before the first, the 14th, you know? Because even when we won the 14th, what happened? We played Barcelona the same week. It's like, that's what I'm saying. Like, there has to be a fatigue, too, you know? Players injured. It's not because, you know, outside of Sendejas, they're not getting injured off of plays. I know, or that's too right, but other players are getting injured off of just fatigue. Like, I don't know what else they would be injured of, because it's not like they're getting slights that go nasty or anything.
I think there's some credibility to that argument, but that's just the way that modern football is nowadays. Like, no team really catches a break. It's midweek action. Let me rephrase that. No top team catches a break. Because it's always something going on either midweek or Fecha FIFA. You have an international, during the international break, you have friendlies to play. And it's just a revolving door of games, right? because games equate to money, and the club needs money to sustain itself, and so on and so forth. So it's always going to be difficult for America to get to catch a break. It's even going to be even more difficult next year because we have the CONCACAF Champions Cup again. So really, it goes back to the fact that we felt like we had a squad that had good depth. Now, as they dwindle down because of injuries, now we're starting to look at it and probably saying, no, this is not a good enough squad with depth. You know, even the depth we had was barely okay. But, I mean, at the end of the day, there is a lot of fingers to be pointed everywhere, right? Some of it you pointed at Jardinez, some of it you pointed to a couple of players that played horrendously in that match. And a lot of the fingers you point to the front office, right? The fact that they haven't been able to get business done and handled accordingly. And so it's frustrating. So shout out to Carlos Serna, who's giving us a little shout out right there. Hope all is well, my good friend. And yeah, it's frustrating as an Americanista off of Bicampeonato onto a tournament that we were supposed to be claiming a tricampeonato. I'll be honest with you, Chris, with the way that we've been performing, with the way things have been going, I'm finding it hard for America to even make it in the top four.
Yeah, I think all that bragging about, oh, we've never played in repechaje, I think that's my end this year. I know that It's not the same repechaje where it's I think it's only two spots, right, that you could get into. But, I mean, the easy side of the schedule arguably already happened, right?
So yeah.
I don't have the schedule in front of me, but there's teams that are coming up that we've always struggled against. And mind you, we have no ties. It's been either we won or we've lost. So at what point do these ties start coming in? And trust me, dude, a lot of these sides are going to feel like losses. Why? Because of the situation we're in. Mind you, a lot of times we overreacted with some of these ties, right? Where we tie a game and we're just like, oh man, this feels like a loss. Whoa. Now we're going to feel like it's a loss if we tie. And I know people are going to say, well, it's better than losing after looking at our losing record right now. But like I said, if you want, you know, maybe it's a blessing, and because I always tell people this, and this is kind of where I loosen up a bit, where it's like when we play in Mexico, if this was England, right, you're a United fan, I'm a Chelsea fan, when we lose and we tie, we're already thinking the season's over, we can't win the title anymore, right? In Mexico, you don't necessarily feel this, because a lot of the times it's about momentum going into Liga. So that's why I'm not going to throw away the season just yet. But it is one of those things. And we said it early on. Now you're playing catch-up. If the standard was first place, even before Jardinet was here, and now you're not really in reach of that, I don't know how you could get in reach of it. You basically have to win almost every game, right?
You would have to win every game, and some results would have to go your way.
Yeah. So, like, that's out of reach. Mind you, you highlighted this in the group chat, and I've been highlighting it almost every week, the youngster rule. So let's say we win every single game, right? But we don't reach the youngster rule. Well, now we're losing 3 points, or I don't even know how many, but I'm assuming 3 points, right?
3 points are fine.
It's a tough situation. Like I said, I'm not necessarily overstressing it right now because of the Liguilla, but it is a situation where, hey, like, we could be in repechaje. Like, I'm not going to sit here and say we're not making even repechaje, because I don't think we're that bad, right? I think there's too many bad teams in the league that we'll end up surpassing. But, yeah, like, it's a situation where those six spots, it is a reach right now. Maybe you end up getting a sixth spot, right? Maybe. But as of right now, the mindset is probably repechaje. And the winning streak, if there's one that has to start against Chivas, and it's the best time to get a winning streak, right? Or the best win, because it's a rivalry.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, we'll see how we feel about it next week when we preview the game. But all in all, I know we don't necessarily need to press the panic button, but there should be some alarms ringing. You know, this does cause
the seat alarm. Is hot.
Yeah.
The seat is hot. It depends on who you want to put it on, but the seat is hot. Like, if you want to say Jardine, fair.
I think he feels the pressure for sure.
I have a friend that's a Chivas fan. Saying, oh, yeah, they're ungrateful, this and that. And I look, bro. And I told him, hey, bro, look, I don't know how you guys do things on that side, but over here, like, if the team is falling apart, right, there's no reason for someone to stay. Mind you, I don't think the team's falling apart, but if the front office says, well, Jardine, thank you for those four titles.
But you got to go.
You hit your ceiling and you're skyrocketing. You're just dropping. The stock is just dropping very down, like down completely. Then we have to move on, right?
Yeah. And look, I would not be surprised. If America gets humiliated like they did against Cruz Azul, against Chivas, I 100% would call for Jardine to be fired. And some of you might think, well, no, that's crazy. Maybe. That's crazy. But La Volpe was fired when America lost 5-1 against Chivas.
Oh, Jamed gave us a title and left.
Yeah.
You know? Mario Carrillo was like, how long was his winning streak?
It was good. Yeah, it was a high record breaker.
Like a big winning streak. Yeah. Or not winning streak, but it was they didn't lose, right? They were undefeated. Yeah. And he got sacked too. Like, sometimes people might think, oh, that's overreacting. It's not. Maybe it is. But, like, how many times did we have coaches, right, that were always hitting semifinals and they didn't leave? You know?
Yeah.
Like, maybe it's the same thing with Jardine. But one thing's for sure is someone's leaving. And it could be a further one in the front office or someone in the coaching staff. For sure. 100%. Even a rebuild. I wouldn't even be surprised, bro, if this season is a stinker that everyone's up for selling in the winter. I wouldn't be surprised at all.
And it defeats the purpose of the conversation that many people were having, or many people were presumably kind of saying on Twitter that, oh, this is a dynasty team, right? This is un equipo de época. Like, we're just that good. And now reality's slapping us in the face and being like, you know, keep yourself grounded. You know, there's a lot of work to be done in the offseason. You didn't do it. Now you're trying to play catch up. And look at where you're at. 2 wins, 4 losses. 12th place in the table. It's not very America-esque, right? And that's why some people may think, well, this is ridiculous. This is outrageous. Why are on earth would you consider firing the man that just won you 4 trophies? Well, remember, this is America. There's a standard to be kept. There's an image to be kept. And if you're tanking the way that you're tanking right now and things are not progressing, if your record in 2 weeks' time is 2-6, 2-7, I'm sorry, but things got to change. And things got to change quickly. So, yeah, I mean, a lot to highlight in this game against Cruz Azul. Just a lot of frustration. It just felt like there was no heart. There was no drive. I remember it was like the 58th minute. We were down 2-1. And there was just no urgency from America. No urgency whatsoever. It's like if they were just playing a preseason friendly game. And then they got scored on. And there was just no reaction. No reaction whatsoever. And that is what frustrated me the most. Because there's no reaction from the players.
No leadership.
Absolutely none.
No leadership at all. Mm-mm. Because, and we could highlight those players too. Henry, Hidalgo, Jonah. Right? Who would be your leaders, right?
Yeah.
And like three. I said, right? And I go back to Borja, right? Like Borja, just, it's not necessarily Borja's fault, right? But it is because, you know, I told Christian this because we were in the same group chat and I told him, I have an issue with fullback that don't defend because situations like that. Now, if you had another player next to him, right, that would defend for him or get in the way, then okay, right? But it's more of a Jardine thing too. Like, why are you starting a fullback that only knows how to go up. Mind you, he's not even offensively great. It's not like he sends these amazing crosses, right? And then Chicota are the same in that aspect. And then you have a guy that doesn't know how to do a 1v1 against a center defensive mid. Yeah. Who, and mind you, in that same play, it's not just him. Fidalgo stops. Instead of continuing the play, he gets out of the way like, oh, I'm in his way. While he sees that Borja is literally struggling. And I have an issue with that. And to me, it's like, okay, Jardine, you're smarter than this. What is your, like, is this a sign to the front office to say, give me my left winger because I have to drop down Fidalgo all the way down. Borja goes all the way up. And now I'm all over the place. Because there's a play where Fidalgo tries to drop down and he's struggling too. So in my head, I'm just like, well, what exactly? Because like we have to analyze those type of things too, right? It's not just player plays this position, does this. No, the player's moving around and everything. And in my head, I'm just like, well, Sendejas is missed because that's a player that was always all over. When people criticize Sendejas because he wasn't attacking good, when he was offensively just not good, I told people, look what he does defensively, right? Now you don't have a player like that. And you see, you know, the holes that are there, you know, that he covered up. And like just like you said when we started, why is Nestor Araujo there? What is the point? In that goal that that Greek striker scored, that's Araujo's mark. And 100%. He has Fidalgo on him. Like, you know, like
it's frustrating.
I'm not saying Ramon Juarez is like solving everything, right?
No, but he's miles ahead of Nestor, you know?
Miles. It's like, and I was going to tweet this, but I was kind of saying, well, I'm going to see how it plans out. But to me, Ramon Juarez starts these games and he balls out this season. He's leaving to Europe in the winter. No doubt. And I know people are kind of like, well, what is the proof? America has always shown that whenever a Mexican player or a youngster from the academy gets an offer from Europe, they open the doors for them, right? If a player flops, then he doesn't deserve it. He didn't earn it to go to Europe, right?
Mm-hmm.
But Ramon Juarez has proven, hey, I'm solid all over. I could play. I might not be the special talent. My ceiling might not be ending up in a Manchester United or a Bayern Munich. Maybe, you know, I don't have that ceiling. But I do everything right. And the fact that you put Nestor Araujo, and it really feels like it's a call from the top, right?
Yeah.
Saying, hey, we got to get rid of him because we had an offer for him last season from this Greek team. Fell out. We might have something there. Whatever, you know. And in my head, and someone tweeted out, I said it in the comments, America isn't a place where, or just because you pay someone a high salary that we are forced to play them. And it's true. You know, if he stinks and we pay them, oh, well, take the L and sell him cheap or whatever the case may be. But having to force it to try to get him back and all that, like, nah, man, like, why sabotage? We're not this needy team, right? We're not a farmers league team where it's like, we're going to sell them for double the price. Araujo is not going to be he's not going to be a player that you're going to make money back from. He's just not, right? He's
not either going to
retire
no.
with us or he's leaving for free. You know, he's just not. So I don't get it, man. I really don't. It's the heat, brother. Before we started, we said the heat's going to get us annoyed and America is going to add to it. But my bad if I'm ranting, but this is how I feel. It was a really a mess, man. And it sucks that you kind of want just. I would like to just say, oh yeah, Diego Valdez injury, and it has that game specific. Maybe it is just a Diego Valdez thing, right? But there's too much things where it's like, no, there's tactical things, there's coaching things, there's formation things. There's a lot of just. It's a mess, and you know, it's just really a mess, man.
Yeah, no, there was a lot of underlining issues throughout the game, which I feel like we spoke on a good amount of. And I mean, yeah, it's just frustrating overall. Ritual 333, excuse me, says Estadio Azul sucks. That place is cursed. And it might be. It just feels like it might be. America doesn't feel at home. And I always question whether or not, and I think I did ponder the question on the podcast at the beginning of the season, how much would not having the Azteca weigh on us? And it feels like we're seeing the ramifications of not being able to play at our own stadium. And that's the reality. I think that we're just in a position where we don't feel comfortable on the pitch and things are just not going our way. But we feel even more uncomfortable. And really, it's starting to get to a point where I think it's starting to become a mental aspect as well. You just look at these players, and as soon as the Cruz Azul goal goes in, it's like heads go down. And that wasn't the case last season.
Literally, that was, man. And
yeah,
I mean, we're lacking something, bro.
Yeah, we're lacking a lot of stuff. And it's just the frustration and the nature of it all. But I want to sit here and say that things are going to get better. Granted, I'm sure they are. But I can't sit here and lie and say that it's going to be better right away. And, you know, through it all, sometimes it feels like it's going to be one of those things where you can't go around it, can't go over it, you can't go under it. And the only way that America goes gets over this or gets better is by going through it. Just, you know, you have to just go through it. Roll with.
How would you fix
with
it?
The punches.
What would you fix? Because let's get into that.
If you want to fix this on the fastest way possible, you bring in a top left back. Left winger to replace Quiñones, in hopes that you find someone that's capable of making that impact. And then you figure out the way to patch little holes. Obviously, you get Néstor Araujo as far away from the club as possible. Like, send them, just terminate his contract, buy him out. I don't care. Just get him out of the club. Get him out of there. The América looked way better last year when he was injured throughout the majority of the season. And so, just get him out, right? We're in a situation where you have to trust in Ramón Juárez and Sebastián Cáceres. Put them there. That already sounds like a better solution. And try to figure out. I mean, with Kevin maybe potentially coming back and looking better, do you slot Israel Reyes in Jonathan Dos Santos' position and hope that that's a much better better end results? You know, just with what you have at your disposal, I think that, you know, things worked for a reason for Jardinet. It's just he needs to have the right tools to be able to make it happen. And I think that's just the only way that I can see around it, because with no real option to bring in more foreigners, no real option to kind of, you know, get rid of any more foreigners, it's just kind of the situation we're in.
I would change formation. I would play a 5-2-3. I would make sure that we have bodies in the back, Hidalgo and Jonah, just in the midfield, and let Javairo have that wing, like have that space to run with the wing. I think Jardine has had a habit of forcing a formation when you don't have a winger out there. What is the need of putting Chiquito on the wing? What is the need of putting Hidalgo on the wing? Right? Brian Rodriguez. But you have to do something. It's like you stacked up the midfield depth for a reason, right?
Yeah.
And if you have literally Brian, and sometimes you didn't have Javairo, you don't have Sendejas, like, you have to do something. And I understand that you had Diego Valdez, and you're probably saying, well, I can't leave him out. Hey, man, stick him in the wing, right? Do something, but you're over here trying to force a formation, and you're having Chiquito and Fidalgo, and you're kind of taking away from what they're good at, right? I understand. I was critical about Chiquito, but at the same time, like, you have to know why you brought him in. Now, if the coach didn't ask for him, right, which is very possible that he didn't ask for them, then you have to just use him as a rotational player in the bench, right? You got to understand, you know. Now, if there's just a lot, man. Like I said, there's a lot. Maybe it's Diego Valdez injury prone. You bring in Chiquito for these situations. Okay, cool. But then why are you consistently putting him in other positions, right? You're sabotaging the player.
Yeah.
And what did Solari do with Cordoba, right?
Yeah.
What did he do with Giovanni Dos Santos? Oh, I don't have a right winger. I'm just going to plug him out there. Well, brother, you could use other formation. He would have Fidalgo there, and it wasn't the same thing. We were winning 1-0 every single game, right? Mm-hmm. We were winning those years. We were just winning 1-0. So what was the need of just being conservative like that? Same thing here, right? Well, what is the need of putting Chiquito out there on the wing? You know, you could have asked for a Mexican winger. Dagoberto plays the wing. Why don't you put him there? So we have him as a right back. It's like I said, I don't want to stay here and be on that fire Jardine, because I personally would just ride out the season with him. If it was up to me, even if it's an awful season, I would ride with him because I believe in the coach. But there has to be more logic into a lot of these moves. I just feel like it's just like, oh, well, you're my next best player. I'm going to move you here. And it's not the same thing, you know?
Yeah, and I think I echoed that maybe like two or three podcasts ago too, that he has, you know, opportunities to play. Maybe it was last week, actually, when I said that he should have switched formations around and that he should play to his strengths and not necessarily be so rigid and be like, oh, no, we're going to keep playing the formation that's been working for us. When you don't have the players at your disposal, it'd be much, much smarter to play a diamond formation or, like you said, a 5-3-2, something to kind of, you know, help you in that aspect. But yeah, or maybe just the answer is bring back Luis Fuentes. Just because. Well, whenever Luis Fuentes is here, things tend to happen for America. So,
I mean, I can't say I hate it, but I can't say I love it.
Yeah, no, I agree. But look, that's America vs. Cruz Azul. We could sit here and rant for 2 to 3 hours just regarding that game alone. But the real main takeaway is the fact that, you know, this is a dire situation for America, and slowly but surely, Americanistas are starting to realize this, the situation that the team is in. And now we have to see what is the response going to be from this team against the Chivas next week, right? This is the international break. Yes, I get it. We have a friendly against Atlético Nacional. I expect the starters to get max 45 minutes. And then I expect the youngsters to take over after that. Really, honestly, just no real reason to risk anyone. And if it does go down to fatigue, then, you know, why not rest majority of them in that aspect? But yeah, that's America Cruz Azul, another loss. And unfortunately, America will continue to search for that third victory in the season. Chris, moving on into the next and final segment. This is only a 2-segment show today, since we don't really have anything to talk about coming up into the weekend. And the transfer window. We spoke heavily that, you know, America's window was closing shorter and shorter and shorter. And we made the mistake of thinking it was this week, when actually it's next week. Window closes on September 10th, if I'm not mistaken. So.
Yes, sir.
September 10th. At this point now, what is that? 5 days away. So America has 5 days to find Julian Quiñones' replacement. A player that has left the club for over 100 days, by the way. 100 days. And Baños and his team have not been able to bring us a suitable replacement. I get it. There was hurdles because of the fact that we overloaded ourselves on foreigners and we couldn't sell some of these foreigners, yada, yada, yada. Still, at the end of the day, they should have started off with Quiñones' replacement and then should have worked their way around everything else, to be honest.
Can I ask you something?
Yeah.
So it's super early, bro, but how exactly did you feel of the three top signings that we brought in this
which is window. Chiquito.
The foreigners only. You know, there's the foreigners. Oh. Forget Chiquito because I know how we feel about
Borja, his, right? Aguirre, and Igor.
Just them two. And Igor, yeah.
I said it. I don't think Igor should have been a priority. He definitely merited to stay. But at the same time, I feel like he should have been one of those to wait. Borja, I get why you bring him in. You need a depth in that left back position. He came on a free. He brings pace and a little bit of extra going forward. Okay, fine. Not the worst. Aguirre, that's the one we all kind of raised our eyebrows at. And funny enough, is probably the best signing we've had so far because he's demonstrated that he can score goals. But he's already been injured. And that's already cause for concern. And
does any of them make you feel like, well, that was a waste of a foreigner?
Yes.
I know it's early, but it's position wise. So you just say we could have covered that with
all three of them make me feel like that.
A Mexican.
Yeah, all three of them make me feel like that right now.
Well, Igor because of his injury right now, right?
Igor because of his injury. Aguirre because I feel like we could have gotten a much better player. And Borja, again, you have options in the youth academy. You had options in the Mexican market, I would assume. Like, it wasn't a need. It was only because he came on a free.
His age.
And his age too. You know, it's declining. Again, one of those things, right, that is just, it feels like it was impulsive. And so, it's just frustrating. Absolutely frustrating. I don't know. We'll see what happens. But yeah, 5 days. And so far, the names that have been sounding weren't the best, but weren't the worst options. Well, one of them was. So the names that have been sounding have been Ivan Cavaleiro. I think I pronounced that right. Watford player. And what was that guy? Jovan Cabral, the ex-Sporting player. And remind me the name of the Panamanian.
Puma Rodriguez,
there you go. Those were the three top-sounding names. The Puma Rodriguez looked like it had the most traction, which, thank God, did not go through.
He even followed the team, and he even followed it right after.
He was like, I'm going to put a lot of pressure on them. But it's not looking good. None of those names strike you as like, wow, you know?
I like Cavaleiro.
I do like him. He looks like he could be decent. But I'm going to be honest with you. They all feel Renato Ibarra-esque. Like, they don't feel like they're game changers in that sense.
He was a bomba signing, brother.
He was a good player. I'm not saying that they're not going to be good players, but none of them are going to be an instant impact like Quiñones. You know? And that's the frustrating thing about it. Now we talk about the free agent market, and we've spoken about that, and you know, the fact that Anthony Martial could come in and play in that position. Not saying that he's rumored to America, but there's a player there. Me and Dylan say Memphis Depay. That seems to be the only good suitable option. I know Carlos Vela is still an option, but I would prefer he did not come.
He's not starting.
No, and that's
the thing. And he's going to have the same impact as Chicharito and Chivas, if I'm being completely honest. The same impact.
So it's looking like a dire situation. Like, it's, you know, what happened to the rumors of Cucho and freaking Dennis Benoit or whatever his name is from LAFC. Like, names that sounded like a good option, like reasonable options, but now are just, again, forgotten in the wind, you know. And so Christian Ramirez is asking, are we broke? Why are these our options? Chris, we are not broke. This is for the first time that we have money, and we don't know how to spend it. Like, it's not because we don't know who to spend it. It's just, actually, I don't even know if they know how to spend it. It's just they don't have availability because they want to be cheap. Let's be honest. They want to be cheap. They don't want to spend.
Last year.
Yeah. And they don't want to spend $15 million. Yeah. But they don't want to spend $15 million on a left winger because they feel like, oh, we're just getting cheated out of the money that we got back. But you waited so long in the transfer market. What do you expect? Like, you're coming up and the season started already. What?
Want to know what's funny about that? They flirted with Idrissi this whole time, too. And that's, like, publicly known that they flirted with Idrissi this whole time. And now it's one of those, oh, next season. Bro, America's not in the is not a team that you wait for next season. Unless it were Real Madrid, right? Where they waited all this time for Mbappe because they're winning. And I don't even think Spain has a foreigner rule like Mexico does, right? So it's not like, oh, you know?
Yeah, not to that extent.
So for us, it's like, if you're going to sit here and tell me we're going to throw away the season, we're not bringing anyone. We just believe in Brian Rodriguez. And if not, we're going to push in Dejas there, right? And if not, we have Borja, who is very offensive on that side. And we're just going to hold on and wait until Idrissi. I'm sorry, bro, but maybe I'm speaking out of my butt. But Idrissi is not a player that I look at. Very good player. Don't get me wrong. I'm not going to sit here and be like, it's the same thing as Quiñones, right? I wasn't as thrilled as everyone else was, but I knew the impact. But Idrissi, to me, doesn't give me that goal-scoring second striker that Quiñones was, that ended up being, you know, he gives me the same thing as Javairo, who is a winger, plays wide, and could score goals, but his impact is going to be more being able to pull his mark and make other people open because they fear 1v1s against them, right?
Yeah.
So absolutely. For me, if they're going to wait on out for him, come on, there has to be
that's other a mistake.
Why not go for a Martial who probably does give you the same impact? 28 years old. Yes, he has been injured and all that. But Idrissi didn't come to Mexico because he was this bomba signing in Europe, right? He flopped over there. Correct me if I'm wrong. He flopped over there, ended up being a free agent, and he got lured into Mexico. And his first season wasn't great either, right? No. The second season is where he ended up shining. So yeah. For me, if you're going after guys, go get a Martial who is 28 years old, who you're going to have for five years, or a Depay who is going to at least bring in an attendance because people are going to be like, oh, this guy's from Netherlands. He's a top international player, right? But if that's the goal, then cool. But at the same time, it's like, you know, don't wait on for this guy. I'm not saying he'll flop with us either, but it's just the more time in the league, the more they're going to get figured out. So if you're going to go for impact like that, go outside and get someone from the outside market, you know, and pay that money because that's exactly what we got. We got the money to do so. Why are we waiting for the last minute, right?
Yeah. And Search 33 saying slim pickings, ? And yeah, it is. At this point, it's slim pickings because you have to understand seasons have started already. Teams are already, you know, beginning to start their seasons. You're trying to pry away an important player to come to your team, and now you're going to leave that team struggling for answers. Like, that just doesn't reasonably sound like an option unless you're going to play the big bucks for that player. So America can't be stingy. America can't be cheap and say, you know what, we're going to save ourselves $5,000-$6,000 if we lowball the situation, because now you can't. You have to go in with a serious offer. Say, look, I know your player is worth $10 million. I desperately need him. Here's $16 million for him, you know? And maybe then you can get a deal across the line. But right now, at this point, America seems to have no option, no deal. And to be honest, I don't even think any of the reporters that are covering America right now are confident enough to say that they are going to get something done before the transfer window closes. It just feels like the reporting, like, yeah, they're trying to get something done, but nothing's concrete just yet. And that is a situation where you cannot find yourself 5 days before the transfer window closes and you're desperately in need of a reinforcement in that left-hand side. It's frustrating on all aspects. And it's something that we've been echoing throughout the entirety of the podcast, for the beginning of the season to this point right now, right? It's been 2 months? 2 months. We've been echoing
this. Hey, Dylan's in the comments and he said it right away. He's saying there's no urgency. He called
Dylan's
it out,
saying, you know? I told y'all.
And we said it very early on, to the point where we kind of just didn't put energy into it, right? We just kind of said, okay, we get where you're coming from, but there's still a long time. You know, we don't know what's behind, you know, behind doors. And, you know, it's frustrating. And logically for me would be, okay, they're going after Victor Dávila because they were already in negotiations, right? Mm-hmm. But it's like, look where he plays too. He plays in Russia. Like, it's not an easy negotiation. I think people need to understand that those negotiations with Russian teams right now are very complicated because, one, you don't know how you're going to pay them. And you don't know how, you know, it's one of those things. You don't know how long it's going to take and all that. It's just, it's a mess right now. And I like a Victor Dávila, but it's also not Quiñones-like, right? It's more like he's a good fit. You plug him in, he probably plays day one. Because he just fits what we're looking for. He could play the 9, he could play the 10, he could play the left wing. Exactly what Jardinet looks for in a player. But Quiñones was, like, in Mexico, won another bicampeonato with Atlas, right? So it's very different.
Yeah.
And right now, it's not like you're after any left winger in Mexico, right? And then there's rumors that last second we were trying to sign the Jurado from Necaxa, and it's just like, whoa, why last second, right? Like, he would have covered our minor situation too, right? Our youngster situation. It's just,
yeah.
Like I said, my criticism is coming directly into the front off, because who else can I blame, right? Now, I will blame if the rumors are true that Jardinet said, I want Richard Sanchez still here. I'm sorry, bro, but he's not even a super sub at this point. He's out there and you don't even know he's playing.
Yeah, sometimes they pan to him and I'm like, oh, wow, he's still on the pitch. I thought they substituted him. Yeah, look, it's gonna go down to the wire, right? And the most concerning thing about it is that the rumors come and go and they fall off so quickly that you just know nothing's tangible at the point. And 4 days away from the window closing, it just feels like it's going to go down to the wire. And America last minute signings never seem to work out. And that's my biggest fear. Yeah.
Vinas was probably the last one, right?
Yeah.
Which planned out in the first season, but fell apart right after.
It's just frustrating. Absolutely frustrating. But look, I don't want to drag it on as much more. Mainly because it's hot. Suffering in this heat. But we'll end it with this, Chris. Do you think America will get a deal done over the line on deadline day or before deadline day?
Well, they're going to get a deal done. And I think it's going to be before. I do think we're going to get something done.
All right.
Because I think the boss is saying, bring me someone.
Yeah. Do you care to say what day it will be? Will it be this weekend? Will it be a day before? What are you looking at? Because the 10th is on Tuesday.
Maybe. Also, it's not a full week, right?
No.
So maybe this weekend. I wouldn't be surprised if they give us this information during the Atlético Nacional game.
Okay.
That's what I would probably predict around that time. Maybe before that, they'll drop something. Maybe tomorrow you'll start to hear more things. And then Atlético Nacional, we're going to hear someone, Gibran, probably someone going to just break down. Like, oh, this.
No, Gibran's too busy right now with the national team.
Or if Ibanez,
it's gonna be, it's going to be Porfirio Ibanez. I'm saying it's going to go down to the wire. I think it's going to go down to the wire. It's going to go on the 10th. And when we're podcasting, things are just going to happen. Well, we're going to have podcasts and probably react about it live on the podcast. Not as it happens. I think it'll happen sooner before we podcast on Tuesday. But I do think we'll have something to talk about that day in regards to that. I mean, regardless, the window closes that day. We're going to have to bring it up. And we'll probably start off
technically, like we could still sign free agents, right? Even if the deadline ends.
Yes. But, dude, if you didn't get it done by the 10th, what's going to make me think you're going to get it done afterwards, you know?
Yeah, my brother, I would not be surprised if we end up getting a free agent way before that or way after that.
Freaking November and we're barely signing a free agent. Christian Mayer is saying 60-40, we don't get a deal done. But that's okay. That's reasonable to feel that way, Chris. I don't blame you. Absolutely do not blame you. It's been a disorganized front office. Like you mentioned in your comment, it's been super evident this season. It's just frustrating. Frustrating all around. But we'll leave it at that. We'll come back next week and we'll start off the show recapping the transfer window for Club America, as the window will shut down that day on the 10th. And then we'll get you guys ready for the Clásico Nacional against Chivas on the 14th. So you guys don't want to miss next week's episode. And Chris, I think the weather's going to be a lot more favorable that day too.
Oh man, I take cold showers before I get on here, bro, because
we're just going to have to podcast in an ice bath.
You've seen me grumpy, bro.
Yeah.
You've seen me grumpy the way I talk to Christian. And that's when I get grumpy. I'm just like, bro, I'm not in the mood and I'm just going to like release my annoyance on you. And I love my guy, bro. I hope he knows that it's just me being a jackass, but
yeah, he knows. Yeah. I'm sure he knows. Shout out to Christian. Shout out to AJ. Shout out to Dylan. And most importantly, shout out to all of you, the listeners, for coming on the live show and for also, not the live show, excuse me, the live podcast, and for also all of you listening on any streaming platform that you guys are listening to. Thank you so much. Chris, we'll leave it at that. Like I said, it's hot. I don't want to take up more time than we actually need. And we're going to have a lot more to talk about next week. So we might as well just give ourselves some breathing room here.
No prediction for the Atlético Nacional game?
I could care less how that game ends, to be honest. I don't even know if I want to watch it, to be honest. I mean, I'm going to watch it because it's America, but you know, it's going to be one of those games where you're just like, care less. Yeah. Just get it done and over with.
I just hope no injuries. That's my biggest. And there's an injury. Hey, brother.
If it's an injury, maybe on Nestor Araujo.
Yeah, I was about to say that. Maybe on Nestor
Araujo. God, we're terrible people. But all right, we'll just leave it at that. I hope you guys have a wonderful, wonderful night. We'll be back again next week. Make sure you guys follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Eagle Eye Podcast. We'll keep you guys up to date with everything going on in the world of Las Águilas del América. Don't worry, we'll keep you guys up to date in that game against Atlético Nacional as well. So yeah, everything and lots more to talk about next week and for the weeks to come, as it seems to be a long, long season for America. With that said, you guys have a wonderful night. Take care. And as always, Arriba America. Good night.
Ladies and gentlemen, this was another production of the Eagle Eye Podcast, the number one source for all things Club America in English. Make sure to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Eagle Eye Podcast and get all the latest news and coverage. And subscribe to our podcast wherever it is you may listen.